You're listening to a Zone Radio podcast, zoneradio.co.za. It's 9 minutes past four, and it's time for us to say hello to Steve Reed and Anton Kehler on the Entrepreneur Zone. Hello, Steve. Hello, Anton.
Hello, Richard. It's lovely to be back on this windy, rainy day.
It's a horrible day.
And there's nothing lazy about Anton. So good to have you back with us, Anton. You know, you've been here a couple of times. And one of the things that I said to you outside is that you are one of those leaders that believes in building, building up yourself. You're constantly wanting to grow. And I know the couple of the last sessions that we've had together, Anton, you would share some principles that you've heard or read, etc. But today we're going to ask you to share something that you've devised yourself. I think it's called the 5 R's for leveraging the human capital. How do you build your team, etc.? The 5 R's, and it sounds intriguing, so look forward to that. But before we start, I know yesterday was Richard's birthday. I'm sure that the listeners, etc., have all expressed their appreciation.
Are we going to sing for him?
I don't know if anyone has sung to him yet. Is that correct?
No, somebody did.
Okay, all righty.
Feels gelukkige maatjie, omdat jy verjaar, mag die Here jou seën en nog baie jare spaar.
Stay with business coaching. Thank you, Anton.
You're welcome.
Get on with it.
Thanks for that little deviation there, Richard and Anton. So, 5 R's. Talk to me about that.
Well, Steve, thank you, and listeners, good afternoon. First, I want to just say a big shout-out for Zone Radio. I read about the challenges that you guys are facing and the mountain you are overcoming and scaling, and I want to say I'm so super inspired and proud of you guys for being committed to this this medium of community building and community upliftment, and we are so similar in our vision and focus and heart and passion, because the SOZO Foundation is a non-profit organization that exists for uplifting and building the community, the local community, and Zone is doing that, and I'm looking forward to when you guys will go streaming and beaming on every radio in every car. Yeah. So it will happen, and I just want to encourage you guys to continue. Say, I'm super proud to be part of what you guys are doing here.
Thank you very much for that.
You're welcome. This idea and these sort of play on words that I came up with really was birthed around the reality as a nonprofit. We, and I think there's so many similarities with small and medium enterprises, SMEs, businesses, sole proprietors, you know. When you're employing people, you are the trainer, yeah. Right? You don't send people on training like the corporates do and go do this course and this and that. You are. So it's very personal, and a lot of investment goes on in this, you know, imparting knowledge and time, and you really blood, sweat, and tears together with the people in those, especially in the early days, you know. And then so often when people have been invested and trained in, you know, 5, 6, 7 years, you know, they get snapped up by bigger companies, you know, that's luring them with a bigger paycheck.
Yeah.
But bigger is not always better.
Sure.
And so often I believe and have seen that people are lured for the wrong reasons, and they're going pursuing the wrong things because they don't understand what they have until they go and experience something else.
Yeah.
And we see that often in the nonprofit sector, people coming, leaving the corporate environment to come into an environment where there is really purpose-driven workspace and workplace, and people of like-mindedness and like-heartedness, and a different work culture. And you know, there's so much happening across the globe in terms of especially the newer generations, where they are valuing the work environment and culture way above the paycheck.
Absolutely.
And A few recent studies that I read about at the time of putting this article together for you show that in both Europe and both in America, both these studies that was done with collectively over 20,000 of these next-gen employees, that'll be like 35 years and under, that over 72% of all of those participants said that they will go and work for less money in a more healthier environment sure. and culture. And so the paycheck is not always the thing that we should fear when we want to keep our people, you know. Just because we can't pay more, there's so much, doesn't mean we cannot do more.
There's other levers that we can use.
Absolutely, absolutely. And one of the greatest thing in a smaller company, smaller organization, is the biggest lever is you. Mm. You know, you have actually people have access to the head of the business, the founder, the CEO, the MD, the owner, the sole proprietor. You know, you are there, and you are the you carry that vision. So people have access to you, and you are the biggest asset that you can invest into, and you've invested it. So how do we keep our best team? How do we keep our people? Because we have to release and utilize those other levers, as you say there. And so I came up with these 5 R factors, which is a bit of a tongue twister. If I will not recommend having this after a glass of wine, but these 5 R factors are retain, restrain, refrain, retrain, and regain. You want to hear that again?
Yes.
I got that right for once. Retain, restrain, refrain, retrain, and regain. So I want to tell you a story that recently happened with me. We were employing a new position, a junior position, general kind of a maintenance person, jack of all trades, to join our maintenance team, and we do a lot of upgrading of facilities and spaces, and we like to be creative. So you want somebody who's a bit of an all rounder.
Yeah.
And I sat down with this, excuse me, incredibly lovely, lovely human being. His name's Marshall. And, you know, in Afrikaans they say, soot van die aarde, you know, salt of the
salt
earth.
Of the earth. Yeah.
And he's just the most lovely human being. And he had applied for this position. And as I started asking and digging around his background, because his CV said that he'd worked the last 7 years as a forklift driver at a scrapyard. What I didn't realize is that for 14 years prior to that, he worked as a carpenter and cabin maker.
Sure.
And he was retrenched after those 14 years. Now, he worked for one business for 14 years. Now, immediately, that says something to me about this person. Mm. Secondly, he worked for the scrapyard for 7 years. That says something again to me. When I asked him what was his working hours, he shared with me that he works 6 days a week from 6 o'clock in the morning to 7 o'clock at night.
13 hours.
And every second Sunday. His wage was just under 5,000 rand a month. I asked him what was his salary when he started. He said just under 5,000 rand a month. I asked him a bit more to tell me more about why he's here, and he said he realized that he's not being valued, and collectively him and 6 others, it was interesting because there's 7 of them, decided to resign within 7 days at the scrapyard. It's a successful business, this we're talking about, not a struggling business. And that company lost 7 people. And when Marshall joined that business, he knew all those other 6 employees. So they were there longer. And within 7 days, all of them were gone.
Sure.
And so I think the reality is, that that there was no culture of value, of investment, of the, of appreciation, etc. in that business. And you can have a business that's doing well, and in 7 days you can lose seven of your key people. You know, forklift driver, you need a license. You need, you know, that's a unique skill, experience when you're dealing with a high risk environment. So seven people, and that really kind of stuck with me. So we're delighted to have Marshall on board. And I'd love to see him, you know, staying with us for much longer than 7 years. But for us to do that, we have to hold ourselves accountable to not get complacent. Mm. You know, so these
take
seven
things for granted.
That's it. Take it for granted, and just you know, we need to. I always try to get back to the personal touch whenever, wherever, and I do it in simple ways. I don't go into my office when I come to work. I go into the open office. I walk past the doors. I have chats. It takes me an hour to get to my office in the morning. It's my best hour of the day. Hmm. I connect with people. I have conversations. The cleaners come past. We have a little chat. I sit by the reception and just touch base. And it's just a wonderful experience all the time for me personally. I love doing that. Mm. And then when I connect with my staff, or there's an opportunity, or somebody is sharing something, they will say that that is one of the most precious things for them, because they feel seen, they feel connected, they feel valued. Because I forget that I'm the CEO. I forget that I'm the founder of a I'd say probably a large NGO. You know, we've got over 70 staff, and I forget that people still see me as the CEO. I feel like I'm one of the tribe, one of the team, but for them to have access is really precious, and so for me to have access is precious. So It really is a win-win, and so these R's can help us to just touch on a few practical things. So the first one is retain. I think the most powerful way of retaining, which talent. Means to keep paling, it's retaining your talent, retaining your best team. Mm. How do you keep them? And as I just said, according to those surveys, it's a healthy work environment. Mm. You know, we always hear about family business culture. And once that business is sold to a corporate, everything changes, and a lot of those people leave very quickly because people want to feel that they belong and they're part of something.
And they're making a difference.
And they're making a difference. They get to make a difference. So shaping that culture is always going to be the first thing, you know, positive work culture, creating opportunities for growth, encouraging people to step out of the comfort zone, connecting one-to-one, as simple as that may seem, it is absolutely invaluable. So retaining is the first one, through a healthy work culture and work environment. The second one is quite different. It's restrain. And restraining talks about the things that we should not be doing, you know. Restraining is about managing the workload and the stress. And within a company with small business, medium business, the pressure and the stress will always be there, right? But we need to remember that for me as a CEO, as a founder, I carry this organization deep in my heart in another way that I cannot expect my team to run at the same pace. Mm. They do not, and it's unfair to think that they should. Mm. And so that workload and is up to me to ensure that I respect people's boundaries, that I stay connected to who they are as humans, as people, who their families are, to know that they have children, toddlers, small children, old children, and that comes from the first one, to stay connected one-to-one. It helps me to remember that on a Friday afternoon, I'm pushing those people out of the door. Hmm. All right? I'm pushing them out of the door because I value their family.
Go to your family.
Go.
So the restraint is not about something on them. It's about you and the boundaries that you are honoring in order to uphold that family culture.
Absolutely. It's the work-life balance. Hmm. It's a work-life balance. It's not something new, but it is something that is always, always neglected. I'm privy to that myself, you know. I lose track of that, and then my 10-year-old twins remind me often that, "Daddy, you haven't eaten with us once this week." And I'm like, okay. And they have dinner at about 5:30, so it's not a ridiculous early time, you know. And
unreasonable time.
It's not unreasonable. Yeah. And I realize that I need to leave the office and come and invest time with my family. So if that's precious to me, I need to understand that must be precious for me, for others in my team as well. Even when they are super committed and even when they are willing to go the extra mile, which is important, and there are waves and times that happens, but I need to be the one to push them for that work-life balance.
Lovely. So that's restrain.
That's restrain. The next one is refrain. Again, there's more things we should not do than the things we should do. So it's not always about doing more. It's sometimes about doing less of those things that can create that toxic work environment and can create that unhealthy practices. So refraining is all about avoiding negative practices, preventing micromanagement. This is really a challenging thing because it requires trust. Mm. It requires risk. It requires belief in others, and it requires that people are going to do things differently to what I am doing. It is it a game changer? Is it absolutely crucial? Is it, you know, that it happens exactly as I wanted it to happen or as I have done it?
But the outcome is the same.
Absolutely. Then it's focusing on outcomes, not the inputs. It's focusing what is the outcome. There are many ways that can lead to the final outcome. And if it looks different, I don't have to. And actually, you know, it's draining when you have to micromanage. It's draining. We often, as leaders and as owners of businesses, etc., we do it to ourselves. Mm. So it's very, very draining, and also it's for team members, it's very disheartening and
undermining.
It is undermining, absolutely. So another one is refraining from favoritism.
Sure.
This is really important. We have to guard against that because we're building very close relationships and even friendships in our smaller work environments. And so we have to also be careful that we manage those relationships, because ultimately it is a work relationship, and we can't be seen to have favoritism. Mm. It will have a negative impact as well. So where we can be inclusive, where we can be connected to everyone in different ways and different levels, of course. But keeping that connection is really, really important. And then minimizing office politics. This sounds like a dream come true. There will always be office politics, of course. But what is our approach? So we have a zero tolerance for gossip.
Wonderful.
And we are very firm on that. Mm. And the reason why we're very firm on that is because we have equipped and trained all of our staff in a very powerful tool called Crucial Conversations. And we have done training over months and months and retraining them again and again every year on crucial conversations. And that is how to have tough conversations when emotions are high, the stakes are high, the pressure is on. And how do we have the tough conversations? Mm. And we've given them tools to have those conversations face to face, eye to eye, staying in the room and working through our differences. But holding accountable where accountability is needed, but doing it in a respectful and an appropriate manner. So if there's gossip, it means that somebody is not following and not stepping out into what we've trained them to. So we're holding them accountable, and that's why we're very firm on corridor gossip, because it is a little yeast that really permeates the whole of the of the bike. And so we really want to root that out.
Building the currency of trust requires that you are loyal to the absent.
Wow.
Obviously, if you and I and Richard were in a team and Richard's not present and I talk him down, I badmouth him, then you have the interesting choice of being able to say, Steve, are you going to say that in front of Richard?
Right.
Okay. The other conclusion that you could come to is, my goodness, if that's what Steve says in the absence of Richard, I wonder what he's going to say when I'm not here.
Right. And absolutely. And there's
zero
nothing,
tolerance.
There's nothing worse than a senior leader, a MD, a owner, a founder, a CEO, who actually participates in this kind of behavior. Mm. You know, a phrase I've learned here in the Cape, the vis rot van die kop af, the fish rots from the head, hey? So that's where will happen. So
this is refrain from gossip.
Absolutely zero tolerance. Mm. The next one is retrain. And this is specifically retrain because in the early days with new staff and onboarding, etc., there's a lot of training that happens. And so there's a buzz and there's excitement and there's a time of connection and impartation and investment, etc. And then we forget about it and people do their jobs and they continue. But we have to consider that the whole world is changing. Mm. The industries are changing. Technology is changing. The environment is changing. And we as human beings are growing and changing, etc. So to retrain our staff again and again and again, and this can happen in very different ways. Training doesn't always have to be sending somebody for a week's expensive course and training, etc. All this. It can be a ticket to an expo.
Sure.
A ticket to an expo. And they go and they feel invested because they have been entrusted to go. They've been noticed and representing
the organization. Sure.
I don't go to many of these events, networking events, expos, etc. But for SOZO, there's always somebody there. Because I see these as great opportunities to retrain and reinvest into our key influencers. Mm. And there's a lot of our young talent that we have to be incredibly proactive. You know, for them to go to a funky, cool expo for the half a day, it means the world
to them. Absolutely.
You know, it's not an accredited course where you go sit in a class for a week and you get this. No, they just, when they're out there and they can, you know, dress up and be the representation of the organization and tell the story, it is an incredible investment that we will never get our money back. We will always get more than our money back from those sort of things. So it doesn't have to be massive. It can be something small and short, but we need to notice who are the people that we are investing in and who have we invested in before and when last did we invest. So that is really important.
It's intentional and it's proactive.
Absolutely. I also find a lot of value in cross-training. So when we have senior leaders and we ask them to go and, you know, train junior leaders in something or junior personnel. What that does is, one, you get the benefit of a junior person being invested in. You get the benefit of a senior person being trusted, that their knowledge is valuable for the organization to go and transfer those knowledges as well. So, again, there's no money spent in that example there, but it is a great strategic way of shared knowledge and also, again, valuing your team and your staff. Sure. And the last one is regain. And this is a scary one because if you miss this one, my dad always used to say to me when I was in sales and market sales for 16 years, and he used to always say to me, be very careful of the worst customer in the world. And I was like, well, what do you mean the worst customer? And who's the worst guy? He said, mine the worst customer in the world. So I was talking to him about the clients are complaining and this one is this and they're being, you know, a bit pedantic and all this and et cetera. And he would say to me, you need to appreciate those complaining customers because the worst customer in the world is the one that says nothing and next week they're gone.
Gone, okay.
You know, imagine a restaurant, you're walking in and you're getting a bad steak. You can take it on the chin. You can chew through it, say nothing, pay your bill, and never go back. But if you do raise it, the manager, the chef...
They've got a choice.
They've got an opportunity
to make
fix
a change.
It, bring it back, and you've actually gained a customer who will be coming back again and again and again. So regaining is about those staff members that have been disengaging.
Okay.
You know? That have been disengaging and they are just going through the motions.
So it suggests that you are also actively observing. You're looking at the complete picture and not being affected by the colorful, engaged ones, but you're also looking at why is that person not at the same level of commitment and engagement?
Absolutely right. Okay. Absolutely right. I had an opportunity recently. A few of my team were facing some really tough week, and they were starting to really just look a bit weary. And I just said, guys, it was I think Thursday afternoon. So it was out of sync. It's not a Friday, you know, end of the week. It was a Thursday. I think it was about 3 o'clock, and I said, we're in the Capricorn Business Park, and I said to them, hey, let's go to Noongan. Let's go have a beer. These two ladies came, they were senior leaders, and they just were bowled out. I said, come. It's been a tough week so far. Come. And we sat there. We had a beer. We did not talk shop one bit.
Hmm.
We just chatted. We just connected. It was an hour of our day, of my day, and I tell you, the Friday when I arrived back, it was like they were at a spa. Because it was just a simple thing, and I could just reconnect with them on a human level. And probably the best R of all of these is the last R, which is just being real.
Sure.
If you're a manager, if you're a director, if you're an owner, if you're a CEO or a founder, you're still a real human being working with real human beings who also have homes and families and children and also have challenges. And we have them too, and they have them too. And actually being real and authentic ultimately and connecting on that level about life with human beings, there's no alternative for that or nothing that is better than that, because it makes our staff and our team feel like we are on this together.
Wonderful. You know, I love the fact that you bring that vulnerability, that authenticity with you. You often punctuate what you share with little glimpses to say you haven't got everything, all your ducks in a row. Some of the Yankees are.
The ducks are all over the show.
But thank you for that, Anton. Just tell us again, just a reminder, those five R's again, please.
Yeah, the five R's and the bonus sixth one is ooh, where am I? Here we go. I'll try and get it through without stumbling. Retain, restrain, refrain, retrain, and regain. And whatever you do, keep it real.
Yeah, keep it real.
Awesome stuff. Thank you, gentlemen. Sharon's saying, what an awesome interview. Just what I need. As someone to hear. So she wants to know if this is going to be podcast. Yes, it will be. It will be on our website somewhere between 7 and 7:30. Normally around 7, it's up and loaded. So there you go, Sharon. Listen out for the podcast. Thank you, Anton, for coming in this afternoon again.
You're welcome, Richard. It's a pleasure.
And Steve, looking forward to seeing you in 2 weeks' time.
Absolutely.
With another topic.
Absolutely.
Okay.
A new topic. We're moving into September, and we'll be starting a new topic.
Thank you, gentlemen. It's appreciated. Anton, always great to see you.
Thank you, everyone and listeners. Thank you, Richard.
Take care, guys. Cheers.
Thank you. Bye.
Bye.